This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It's a Wednesday. The NFL Combine gets underway today. Group 1 arrives in Indianapolis, the annual job interview for professional football prospects. Group 1 includes offensive linemen, tight ends, and specialists. It's kind of weird. You think about the NFL Combine and you think about, oh, the 40-yard dash and all that kind of stuff. Well, no workouts take place today. Everything's kind of behind the scenes. You're not even going to see any media coverage. It just kind of gets underway in earnest on Wednesday. The players arrive, they go through orientation meetings, but then tonight, the Packers get busy. One-on-one team interviews with players take place. So you can bet general manager Ted Thompson, the Packers coaching staff, scouts, they'll all be busy this evening talking with individual players, kind of giving them a job interview of sorts, what it's like for a job interview for a professional football player. Talking about X's and O's. I'm sure some of the questions they get are you know, maybe the typical job interview questions anybody might get, you know, in terms of background and things like that. But then they probably get into film watching and X's and O's and diagramming plays and all those kind of things. That's where it's a little bit different. So that takes place Wednesday in Indianapolis and continues basically for an entire week through next Tuesday, I think, is when it wraps up. The last day of on-field workouts, defensive backs wrap up the whole thing next week. But yeah, not until when is the on-field workout start? Saturday? That's when you'll start seeing the workouts on the NFL Network. But anyway, we got a lot to get to today's show. Several items of note coming out yesterday in the world of the Green Bay Packers on Tuesday. For one, the tailgate tour dates were revealed. Anyone listening to the show from northern Wisconsin or the upper peninsula of Michigan? If so, you've got to be happy. The tailgate tour is almost exclusively in northern Wisconsin and above. Tailgate tour dates revealed April 15th through 19th in Escanaba, Michigan, Ironwood, Michigan, Superior, Wisconsin, Rice Lake, Wisconsin, and Merrill, Wisconsin. So yeah, all in the northern half of the state and above this year. And sorry, those of you who clustered around the metro areas of Milwaukee, Madison. This year's not your year. Of course, the Packers can't go everywhere, but they usually do a pretty good job of splitting things up. If they aren't there this year, they'll probably be there next year. So anyway, kind of cool. A lot of those players going on the tour this year include kicker Mason Crosby, linebacker Brad Jones, cornerback Jarrett Bush, and then there's several Packers alumni, an interesting group this year, including Hall of Famer James Lofton, quarterback Lynn Dickey, and tight end Paul Kaufman. So kind of that group there from the mid-80s that was had such a prolific offense and passing game. Interesting to get them all together for this year's edition of the tailgate tour. Of course, President Mark Murphy will be on it as well. Kind of interesting, I thought, too, that the tailgate tour this year takes place in mid-April. Usually, it takes place in mid-May, but I think probably because the NFL draft was pushed back this year into basically mid-May, they kind of flipped things around, so that kind of probably caused the change in itinerary, at least compared to previous years. So there's there's that. Tickets going on sale, I think, February 28th. So make your plans now and buy your tickets in a week or two. Okay, so yesterday, other Packers news. Wide receiver Randall Cobb yesterday appeared on the NFL Network. He was on Total Access, and while he's in town, he granted some interviews to the NFL media and talked to NFL.com about his contract status. Randall Cobb, of course, still working under his rookie contract in the NFL, just finished his third season, and you're kind of getting to the time where you know he is an integral piece of the team and a guy the Packers would probably like to have for a long time, and you wonder, well, is it time to extend Randall Cobb's contract? Well, Randall Cobb expressed his desire to stay in Green Bay for a long time on Tuesday, telling NFL.com, quote, "I would definitely love that, but unfortunately that won't be my decision. That will be on the team to come to me with that decision. I would love to get it out of the way and not have to worry about any of the conversations or answering any questions during the season that would take away from what we're trying to do as a football team," end quote. So Randall Cobb saying he'd love to stay in Green Bay, also saying that no, he hasn't talked to the Packers yet about a contract extension. But part of that could have to do with NFL rules that require rookies not to be able to negotiate a new contract or extension until after their third year in the NFL. So presumably, and I'm not an expert on the collective hundreds of pages of the collective bargaining agreement, but I do know that's a rule. And I have to imagine that Randall Cobb is not even eligible to sign an extension until technically the start of the new league year, which begins March 11. So if you've been, you know, wondering, you know, why haven't they extended Randall Cobb yet? Well, part of it, I think, has to do is they can't even do that until later in March. They can't even begin that process. So That you know, if you think Randall Cobb should be extended, yeah, maybe he should. But there are just simply rules preventing it from happening right this very moment. But yeah, I mean, interesting here. You know, where in the Packers' priority list does Randall Cobb fall? You know, he's not a free agent this year. He technically has one more year on his rookie contract, no matter what happens. Same as actually Jordy Nelson, not on his rookie contract, but interesting that these two wide receivers both have contracts expiring after the 2014 season. Both kind of key pieces of the Packers offense. Do the Packers have room to keep them both? I think they, you know, can make that happen. But who gets the extension first? Who gets the priority? Is it the younger player with the brighter future? And that's not to take anything away from Jordy Nelson. He's certainly been a productive player, but a little bit older. But because maybe he's older, does he kind of get the benefit of the doubt and kind of, you know, he's been around the team more and that kind of thing? You know, when are these going to happen, these extensions, if they're going to happen? Or are the Packers going to take care of this year's free agent class first? You know, just, you know, a few weeks away here, the start of free agency. The Packers have 20 free agents, 17 of them unrestricted coming up. And that's not to mention anybody that they might court from another team. All sorts of things going on here that the Packers might put a higher priority on for the time being, at least. Maybe they want to get, you know, some of these contracts out of the way first and then move on to guys whose contracts are expiring after 2014. But, you know, the good news, if you're a Packers fan, Randall Cobb wants to be a part of this team. And certainly, I think he's has a very bright future despite what happened to him this past season, the injury, the broken leg that kind of set him back a little bit. He didn't have quite a big a season as you would hope because of the injury. He only ended up having, like, what was it, 31 receptions or something like that. And not totally his fault, you know, just because he missed so much time. Missed, you know, what was it, about half the year? Ends up coming back late in the season, of course. He hooks up with Aaron Rodgers for the huge touchdown in the season finale, the fourth quarter that won the Packers the game, that won them the division, that made them qualify for the playoffs. I mean, you see that, and you see how important Randall Cobb can be to this team. That moment wins the NFL's Never Say Never moment of the year at their annual awards ceremony show the night before the Super Bowl. You see how talented Randall Cobb is. And really, one of the biggest, most dangerous threats in the NFL when you consider he's also able to return kicks. He's also able to return punts. He lines up at running back occasionally. Heck, you think he's probably the team's emergency third quarterback if they need one. Not that it's ever come down to that, but I mean, this guy is such a multiple dangerous threat in so many ways. Why would you not want Randall Cobb as part of your team? But yeah, I mean, you know, the time for extending him is still in the future yet. He's finally been asked about it though. So we get an idea that he wants it to happen, but it's not happening yet. The team hasn't contacted him, but we know that rules might be preventing that. So kind of off in the future here a little bit with Randall Cobb, but interesting to hear on a Tuesday from the Packers wide receiver, you know, during the offseason when not a whole lot of other stuff is happening. The other big item of news yesterday in the world of the Green Bay Packers, they've reportedly signed running back Michael Hill, according to Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the item that's interesting there is that the Packers now have signed a player who was arrested this offseason. Now, I mean, take this with a grain of salt here. We're not talking about Aaron Hernandez type of arrested here. But Michael Hill was reportedly arrested on, if I can find this here, two counts of disorderly conduct, which include resisting arrest and failure to obey a lawful order. And this happened in St. Joseph, Missouri. He apparently near his college campus where he played his college ball. He's only 1 year out of college, so he's going back to campus, probably visiting friends, things like that. A disturbance at a local bar. And so that's kind of how it all went down. He ends up being released on a $500 bond. But yeah, so that was Michael Hill's offseason. This happened in January after the NFL season ended. And you'll kind of remember here that Michael Hill was previously with the Green Bay Packers early in the 2013 season. What was interesting is he wasn't with them in training camp at all. I think he was actually in training camp with the San Diego Chargers, if I remember correctly, but ends up getting cut at the end of camp and then signing with the Packers practice squad right as the season begins. So, you know, weeks 1, 2, 3 of the season, Michael Hill is on the Packers practice squad, and then all of a sudden the injury bug strikes the Packers their running back core. You'll remember early last season, Eddie Lacy suffered an early injury. John Kuhn suffered an injury. James Stark suffered an injury. Just kind of all of a sudden, all at once. And the Packers are really thin at the position, at least temporarily. So they elevate Michael Hill from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. and he ends up playing with the Packers for two games. I think ends up being exclusively on special teams. They never really, it never became so dire that they needed to put him out on offense. They had Jonathan Franklin, so they kind of had that fallback plan there for a little bit while. But Michael Hill, plays on special teams, actually returned a kickoff for the Packers. But, then all of a sudden, guys start getting healed up. They start getting healthy. Eddie Lacy comes back. John Kuhn comes back. James Starks eventually comes back. And then, you know, there's no room for Michael Hill, so the Packers have to cut him. They put him back on the practice squad, which was nice. But then when you're on the practice squad, if any team in the NFL wants you, basically you take the opportunity. And then the injury struck at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think their starter, Doug Martin, went down. Well, that's where Michael Hill went then. So he was with the Packers, ended up finishing the season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ended up playing sparingly there as they had a need for a running back. Didn't get a whole lot of action. But, so he ends the season there. But then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kind of, in a way, started to clean house over there in Tampa Bay. And you'll remember, like, all on the same day, there were some notable releases or they waived a bunch of players, including Aaron Rodgers' brother Jordan Rodgers was on their roster. They ended up cutting Gabe Kareemi, the former Wisconsin Badgers offensive lineman, former Chicago Bears offensive lineman. They waive him. So this all happens on the same day as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kind of, clearing house and kind of starting over, not from scratch, but, they're obviously going in a new direction, and it probably didn't help that Michael Hill was arrested in the offseason. They're like, we're not going to take any chances with guys who've been arrested. And I'm kind of surprised maybe that the Packers did as well, again, although, disorderly conduct isn't exactly, it's probably a mistake on Michael Hill's fault. But nothing that, might be impossible to overcome, perhaps. So Michael Hill, they sign him, and now he joins a backfield that's kind of in flux a little bit. Michael Hill joins a backfield in which, Eddie Lacy's coming back, Jonathan Franklin's coming back, DeJuan Harris now after injury is coming back. So those guys are there. But there's a couple other guys who are free agents that we don't know what's going to happen. James Starks is a free agent. John Kuhn is a free agent. Khalil Bell, who they signed briefly to end the season, is now a free agent. Are these guys going to come back or are they going to leave? Just guessing off the top of my head, I'm inclined to say fullback John Kuhn is going to be back on a small contract. I think James Starks is going to leave Green Bay. Not that I'm dismissing the possibility of him returning totally, but I just think that there's other bigger priorities for the Packers on the team in terms of signing, Sam Shields, Evan Dietrich Smith. Is there going to be enough money left over for James Starks? Is he going to get an offer for another team? I would guess that James Starks is going to leave. And that's, they signed Michael Hill to kind of fill the void here of these guys leaving. Khalil Bell probably, I think, is almost, gone almost assuredly. But, so Hill is here to fill the void, compete for a roster spot. He's not going to be, given a spot by any means when you got Lacy, Franklin and Harris back in the backfield. There's three guys right there that are pretty good and proven themselves in the NFL, whereas Hill is just kind of starting his career and is still largely unproven. Of course, you can argue that Franklin and DeJuan Harris haven't exactly proven a whole lot either. But, nothing hurts at this point of year when rosters are at 90 players. You have plenty of room to build a team here. Take some chances on some guys. See if there's diamonds in the rough. Almost assuredly, Michael Hill did not sign a contract with any guaranteed money. so he's not going to hurt the salary cap if the Packers eventually have to cut him. You know, it's not going to be that kind of case where, you know, you get frustrated that they signed a player only to end up cutting them. Well, it's just, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, no big deal. That's the way the contract is more than likely structured. Terms of the deal have not been released. All this comes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, so even the Packers haven't confirmed this yet. It wasn't on the NFL's transaction wire yesterday either, so this is all kind of, you know, nothing in stone yet, but I don't doubt this is going to actually happen. Tom Silverstein's a pretty reliable reporter, so I think we can rely on what he wrote here. I personally was a proponent of Michael Hill. It's definitely disappointing to see that he got arrested. But here's a guy who ended up, you know, he comes out of, I think it's a Division II college. It's definitely not a big name here at all. He went to Missouri Western State University, but ends up, you know, having a monster season there, just, you know, rushing, I know, for it, was it almost 2,000 yards? It was something crazy that during his senior season, he put up these big time numbers and you know, just kind of a guy that flies under the radar. You hear about these guys so often that, you know, it's almost hard to believe he didn't play at a Division I college. Flies under the radar, makes a name for himself. I know he was at one of those college all-star games where I think he was named the game's MVP. So he starts, you know, building even a little bit more momentum, and good for him, Michael Hill, in that, you know, where he's come from to where he is now. So I thought it was great when the Packers signed him this past year. I thought, oh, here's a young guy you can maybe develop, and he'll, you know, get better over time as he gets older and more experienced and things like that. And I think it was great to, you know, kind of start him off on special teams and, you know, take baby steps with a player like that, just giving him a little bit of playing time here and there. And then, you know, eventually you put him in more higher pressure situations. It's, you know, not, I mean, I'm sure anytime you step onto an NFL field for the first time, whether it's special teams or not, it's a big deal, but you kind of get used to it after a few plays. And then once you're on the field for an offensive play, well, that's another bigger step even yet. So I was glad to see the Packers take baby steps with them, develop him along those kind of lines. And I think he's a guy that does have some talent and some potential. So, you know, like I said, disappointing that he's a guy who was arrested. I think he would admit it was probably a mistake, probably put himself in a bad situation in that, you know, he was arrested at a bar, altercation. I shouldn't say altercation. It doesn't look like he got in any altercation, but a disturbance, let's say, at a bar. Again, here, if the Packers have to cut him, if he's a bad apple, well, they cut him, and, you know, nothing, no worse for the wear. But, you know, they must feel he's not a bad apple, though. You know, otherwise they wouldn't have signed him to begin with. So he's a guy they know that they do have a little bit of a relationship with. He was with the team for several weeks early in the season, so they got to know him a little bit, and we'll see how it all works out. But yeah, interesting how the running back situation is shaping up this offseason. Everything is going to be centered around Eddie Lacy in this Packers offense. You know that going forward, it's going to be that way for the next several years, hopefully many years, but as you kind of know, running backs don't exactly have a long shelf life in the NFL nowadays. They take such a beating. But, you know, the biggest thing for the Packers at the running back position now in terms of personnel is finding that complement to him. Who's going to be the number two guy? James Starks did such a good job of it this past season. But with him being a free agent and him possibly leaving, you know, you can't exactly rely on him to be the number two guy, to be the change of pace back any longer. Maybe it happens, but You know, in case they don't, they got to look at a guy like Michael Hill. They got to see what Jonathan Franklin can do now in his second season in the NFL. Jonathan Franklin, a guy that has a lot of potential but had some issues his rookie season. Number one, with fumbling. Number two, with injuries. He ended up ending the season on injured reserve with a concussion suffered late in the year. So, you know, he's got to get over those kind of things if he's going to play a larger role. I think a lot of people would like to see him play a larger role because they see a small, quick guy that is kind of that perfect complement to the strength and bruising style of an Eddie Lacy. So you kind of got the thunder and the lightning if it works out that way. Nobody's giving Jonathan Franklin the job quite yet, but the potential is there for him to play kind of a big role, or you know, maybe not big, but complementary role to Eddie Lacy going forward. And Michael Hill will get his chance too. It's good that now he's with the team. Michael Hill can go through an entire off season with the Packers. He wasn't afforded that luxury last year. Signed really week one of the season. You know, he gets an entire off season. He'll be here for OTAs, for mini camp, for training camp, assuming he doesn't get cut. So all those things kind of help a player out as they move through these off season, these next couple months. You know, March, April, May, June, July, August, a lot of months here before we actually get to a game that matters. But so, yeah, that's what's happening at the Packers running back position. And here on a Wednesday, here we are a day before the NFL Combine. That's what's on the docket today and really the next week. So Cheesehead TV will be at the NFL Combine. I'll be posting reports on both the college prospects and what the Packers have to say. Both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy meet with the media on Friday morning. In fact, so there will be no episode of Railbird Central on Friday morning as I'm in Indianapolis and we'll be covering the event. But I'll tell you what, pretty much as the time this show ends, I think it's 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time, that's when Ted Thompson speaks and meets with the media. So as long as you're following along with social media, I don't think the interview is going to be aired or streamed live anywhere. But you'll be able to get plenty of reports if you follow beat writers on Twitter. Just follow me. I'll be tweeting out, you know, what Ted Thompson, what Mike McCarthy have to say. They both speak Friday morning. So that'll kind of take the place in a way of Railbird Central this Friday. Just a one episode hiatus. We'll be back on Monday to wrap things up from the NFL Combine. Hopefully I'll bring some interviews back. But we'll be writing all sorts of articles. And you'll have plenty of reading material here at Cheesehead TV over the course of the next several days. Tomorrow I'll arrive in Indianapolis and we'll be staying there through Sunday. So have all sorts of stuff planned and all sorts of articles to be written. And we'll see what these college prospects have to say. There will be a lot of interesting things from, you know, Michael Sam, the openly gay player, from Johnny Manziel, the highly touted quarterback, from Jadeveon Clowney, the defensive lineman who claims he's going to run a 4.4 in the 40-yard dash. I mean, there's all these things to look forward to that I'm really excited about. That should definitely be interesting watch over the course of the next several days. And after they happen, we'll have plenty to talk about in the run-up to the NFL draft. So we'll see how it all plays out over these next few days. And we'll bring to you as much as we possibly can here at Cheesehead TV. But that'll do it here on a Wednesday morning edition here at Cheesehead TV. As I always say, stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. We'll be back next Monday. But on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by the Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.